Great to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hello, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you with us today as we begin the program by talking about barns and preserving barns. They're really the icons of rural Wisconsin. Chuck Law of UW Extension directs UW Extension Local Government Center and is a key advisor to the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program. Chuck, great to have you back. Thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem, Larry. It's a pleasure to be here, particularly sitting alongside
an old friend
and a former UW Extension colleague.
And getting old. Okay, Jerry Apps is that old friend from Madison. He's an old friend of Wisconsin Public Radio, too. He's really consider him the Dean of Wisconsin Authors. He's written over 30 books and some great books about farms, barns, and rural life. So, Jared, good to have you back, too.
Always good to be here, Larry.
So we're talking about preserving barns today and what's being done. There's an old-fashioned barn dance and harvest celebration that's coming up actually on Saturday. That I want to talk about that, too, because that's going to be an opportunity to have a lot of fun, but then also kind of to support barns and barn preservation. So we'll visit about that as we move along today. But Chuck, first let's talk about the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program. What's it all about?
Well, the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program represents a partnership between UW Extension and the Wisconsin Historical Society. It really has multiple purposes. First and foremost, we're attempting to build public awareness about the need to preserve and protect all of the historic outbuildings that made up the traditional rural Wisconsin farmstead. So this means not just the farmhouse, but the corn crib, the smokehouse, the spring house, the summer kitchen, as well as the barn. It's just that, you know, many people tend to think of the barn first and foremost because it's a fairly prominent feature on the farmstead. So we tend to refer to this as the Barn Preservation Program. Second, we develop and offer, in concert with the Historical Society and local partners, technical educational workshops where we bring barn owners together with other barn owners to share stories, share strategies, share solutions about fixing and improving and maintaining their barns. And we also bring in the experts, the technical contractors and consultants who work on these barns, so barn owners have a face-to-face opportunity to interact with that expertise. And lastly, we maintain an award-winning website that's full of resources that are useful to someone contemplating a barn preservation project, including an extensive bibliography of printed materials for those who are interested in learning and reading more about Wisconsin barn architecture and construction, including Jerry's book. Mm-hmm. Also are case studies of adaptive reuse involving barns, because not everyone can keep a barn in agricultural use. So they're looking for creative ways to utilize those spaces for different alternatives. In addition to that, you'll find important announcements about upcoming events of interest, including a bus tour of barns that was held last weekend in Trempealeau County, the local history and historic preservation conference that Jerry and I will be speaking at coming up on October 15th, and a two-day timber framing workshop to be held in Janesville on November 6th and 7th. And then lastly, we have an online gallery of photographs of Wisconsin barns.
Yeah, and that's at, what's the website again?
Well, probably the easiest for people to find us is to simply use any standard search engine, Yahoo, Google, and type in those four words, Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program, and you'll find
us
on the web.
It'll pop right up.
That's right.
And we've lost a lot of barns, Jerry.
We have, and we continue to lose them. We had, the best I could estimate back in the 1930s, probably 200,000, more than that, if we count horse barns, three-bay thrashing barns, along with the dairy barns. And we've been losing, we've lost more than half, than half of those barns over the years, for a whole variety of reasons that sometimes, as Chuck alluded to, the old barns often don't fit into new modern-day dairy farming, especially. And so they are left and forgotten, and sometimes The roof isn't repaired. The foundation isn't taken care of, and they slowly fall down. And then at the same time, as most people know, the major cities in Wisconsin continue to move out into the countryside. And when they do so, it's the barn and all the other outbuildings that are literally demolished and replaced with condos and strip malls and all of that sort of thing. So there are a whole variety of reasons why the barns are disappearing. And it's a rather a sad commentary in many ways because, as you, Larry, said earlier, the barns are clearly the icon of Wisconsin's agriculture.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the farm where I was raised, the barn is still there and still working. I'm glad to see that. But a neighbor's round barn that I milked cows in for a couple of years myself, and I really enjoyed that barn. It's gone for a municipal project.
Sure. Well, the barn, interesting enough, the barn on my home farm in Washera County, just west of Wild Rose, still stands. And looks pretty much as it did when I was a kid milking cows in it. But it's not used. It's just standing there.
Well, I tell you what, I want to give our listeners a chance to call in. If you have a question or a comment about barns, I hope you'll join us. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us. The email address is talk@wpr.org, talk@wpr.org. Let's talk about Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin, and what's the role, what's their role in barn preservation efforts? Chuck, I turn to you.
Well, as I mentioned earlier, the two collaborating institutions are UW Extension and the Wisconsin Historical Society. But missing with this mix was an entity that could provide some less formal opportunities for networking and interaction, could offer some potential funding through private donations, as well as help organize political support for state policy changes that might further support barn preservation activities in the state. For several years, the Wisconsin Trust for Historic Preservation served in that capacity, but in recent years, we saw the emergence of a new partner, Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin. They've really stepped up to the plate and is currently focused on a number of goals, including the establishment of a matching grants program, expanding the state's preservation tax credit program, and perhaps securing additional funds for more activities, more technical workshops that might be allocated through funding provided by the U.S. Farm Bill, as well as through the establishment of maybe even a vanity license plate featuring barns of Wisconsin.
Very cool. Well, we have every one of our lines filled, so probably ought to take some calls. Mike in Algoma, let's turn to you first. Thanks for calling, Mike. What's on your mind?
Well, I've got a 40 by 60 gambrel roof barn, and it's still steel-clad, so it's in fairly good shape. But over the years, I've noticed a lot of sawdust, so to speak, floating down from the borers that are eating the rafters and the beams, etc. I understand there's no way of stopping them.
I don't know about that.
Oh, is there some way of stopping them?
Depends on what it is. If they're powder post beetles.
Yeah, that's what this is.
This is a Phil Pelletieri question, isn't it?
Yeah, there is actually the problem, I suppose, is depending on where it's coming from. But I know from talking with Phil that there is a borax solution. And Chuck, maybe you can talk about that. It can be applied to the boards, soaked in. Am I on the right
track? You're right on the right track, Larry. You're doing fine.
It soaks into the boards, and it actually has a very good residual. It'll hang in there for, I don't know, forever, but for a long, long time, and you can kill those powder post beetles and really preserve that. And it's a fairly easy application process too. The problem comes, well, you know, if it's a rafter out in the top of the roof, getting up there to apply is probably a problem.
Yeah, it's 50 feet up.
50 feet up. But it can be done.
Okay. All right. I didn't realize that.
No, Larry's right. There's a fairly easy remedy to the problem. The challenge that you face is obviously gaining access to those areas infested by the beetles. A good source of information for you is the U.S. Forest Products Lab that also has some information on the insect as well as the remedy.
You know, it might even be that you could spray that. You know, it might be possible to spray. I'm not sure. I don't know, but maybe it's certainly worth a look, Mike.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Letty in Fond du Lac, your turn. Hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. What I would like to know, is there any interest in the Barn Preservation Act helping to preserve a barn? I think ours was probably built about 1856, maybe 1859. And it's just a simple rectangular, not gambrel roof. That thing was all put together with pegs. And even at this time, it's been unused for many years. But that ridge line is still straight as can be.
Oh, sounds like a great building.
Those are gable. It has a gable roof, the way it sounds. And 1856 is an old barn in Wisconsin. And do you have any idea how it was used initially?
Yes, it was definitely a dairy barn. There are stanchions in there, you know, silos, a bullpen.
Because, well, the reason I'm asking the question, back in 1856, we had very little dairy farming in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and some of these early barns, of the kind that you describe, were used to store wheat because we were a wheat-growing state. They were called three-bay thrashing barns, and the middle bay, the central area where the big doors were, that area was used for where the thrashing was actually accomplished. And the thrashing was done very primitively because it predated thrashing machines. It was done by having an oxen walk over the grain or using a flail to separate the grain from the straw. And then later, many of these early, they were also called English barns, three-bay thrashing barns, were converted into dairy barns. So that was very common. So you have a very interesting barn. And Chuck, you may want to say a word or two about how the preservation process works and the funding. You alluded to that before.
We are challenged here in the state by not having the ability to offer much in terms of a financial incentive to preserve and protect these barns. Right now, the only financial assistance or incentive that exists is through a program administered by the Wisconsin Historical Society. And again, this underlies or reinforces the need for the partnership with the Wisconsin Historical Society. It's a program referred to as the Wisconsin Historic Preservation Tax Credit Program. So it's not a gift, it's not a grant, it's not a loan. It's basically a credit that you can claim on your annual tax return. And because the program is tied to state revenues, eligibility for the credit is tied to the state's historic registry. In other words, the barn or the land on which it sits must be deemed eligible and ultimately placed on the state or national register of historic places.
Okay, so my what I should really do is contact the State Historical Society to start with.
In fact,
and the Barn Preservation Program, and then get more info.
In fact, yes, I would encourage you to do so. The Wisconsin Historical Society has an excellent website. The address is www.wisconsinhistory, all one word, wisconsinhistory.org. And like many extensive and quality websites, it's chocked full of good information that can be a little overwhelming to navigate through. So when you get to the website, I would simply look for the search button and type in the word barns, and that will take you to a number of web pages devoted to barn preservation. They'll step you through both the state and national register of historic places, how you can evaluate its eligibility, as well as step you through the process for applying for state tax credits.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Talking today about preserving barns with Chuck Law of UW Extension and author Jerry Apps, I'm Larry Mueller. Jim Packard, our producer here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. If you have a question or comment about the Barns of Wisconsin, about the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program, I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. And let's turn to Sandy in Madison next. Sandy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
About a month or so ago, my family and I were traveling to Door County, and of course we were going through on the country roads and noticing all the barns. And the question came up, why are they all red?
Jerry Apps.
Well, I'm happy to try and answer that. I spent a lot of time researching that question, interestingly enough, because it comes up often. The first quick answer, which you're not going to like, is that they're not all red. There are white barns, there are black barns, there are green barns, there are yellow barns, there are gray barns. There are barns of every color. But you're right, many of them, in fact, probably most of them, especially here in Wisconsin, were painted red. Why? Red lead was a part of the early paint that was used to paint barns. And interestingly enough, it was less expensive than white lead paint. So many people painted their barns not because they preferred red necessarily, although that was true in some cases. It was cheaper. It was more economically feasible to paint your barn red. That's the quick answer. Some ethnic groups coming from Europe, there's some connection that they liked red barns there. That's true of some of the Norwegians, and I suspect in some of the Germans. But I think the better reason is the economic one.
All right.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. And let's turn to Sam next in Stevenson, Michigan. Hi, Sam. Thank you for calling.
Hi. Thank you very much. I have a couple quick questions for your guest. One is I have a stone foundation that's over 2 foot thick, and I have one corner that's kind of coming down. Some quick suggestions on that. And the second thing is the cables inside the barn, should they be tight? How do I do that? Where do I find some resources? The roof is okay. It's just that those cables are completely loose.
Chuck, you want to go after that? Because this seems like a good place to mention the contractor list and the consultants that are able to come in and look at barns such as this and give someone a reasonable estimate on what it takes to repair it.
Thanks, Jerry, for that nice segue. And it's, again, a plug for the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program website. And I didn't give the website address for that earlier, but I will now if you've got pen and paper handy. The site is located at www.uwex.edu/LGC/barns. Real quickly, www.uwex.edu/LGC/barns. And the reason it's important to visit that website is, as Jerry alluded to, UW Extension maintains a listing of contractors and consultants, people who are experienced, knowledgeable in working on these heritage barns and historic structures. And they're certainly available for you to contact. We even have a contractor whose mailing address, believe it or not, is New York State. And that tends to intimidate people. Why would I want to call somebody from New York State to work on my barn in Wisconsin? Don't be fooled. That company has work crews located throughout the state, and in some cases can visit your barn in just a matter of a few weeks. So listed on that contractor list is obviously the contact information, as well as it identifies their areas of expertise. So to come back to your question about a crumbling foundation, you can look through that list, and I would encourage you to contact a few of those folks, have them come out and take a look at it, as well as deal with the issue of the cabling and how tight that needs to be. And a lot of that really depends on how true the structure is. We really want to get somebody out there who's qualified to see it on site and to address your questions.
All right. All right, there you go. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And let's turn to John next in La Crosse. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hi, thank you. This is a fantastic show, really insightful. I was calling up because you'd mentioned a couple earlier callers about the use of borates as a method of treating the powder post beetles.
Yes.
And I don't recall if you had mentioned that that actually provides a nice green alternative to some of the other wood preservation methods.
That's so a very good point.
I know it's effective. I've used a product called Boracol, but it's based on borate salts, and it provides a nice green alternative as opposed to when you're replacing boards with something like pressure-treated lumber or the like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very good point. Thanks for bringing that up, John. I appreciate it.
All right, thank you.
Let's turn to Ron in Blooming Grove next. Hi, Ron. Thanks for calling.
Yes, thanks. I'm calling about a little young barns, probably more than 100 years younger than the barns most people are preserving. Anyway, this one has never had livestock in it on a regular basis, so this had no heat source. And apparently the foundation trenches were not backfilled. It's poured concrete. I assume it has some rebar in it. But the repeated freezing and thawing cycle of rainwater and snow melt every winter, so you had ice wedges forming in on the inside against the concrete foundation wall, and it tends to push the walls out in all four directions and crack the concrete. And 20 years ago or so, we patched it up once, and it needs it again. This time, I'm hoping to figure out a way to drain it. So one idea is to put 2 or 3 or 4 inch diameter plastic pipe all the way around on the inside of the concrete wall against it, cover it with sand and gravel, also to use a star drill or maybe a high-tech tool to bore a hole through the south wall where it will be sunny more often and warm up and allow the ice to thaw and flow out, the meltwater to flow through the concrete wall and out toward the creek. And I wondered if you guys had suggestions. A couple of harebrained ideas that came to me since then was, one, cover that south wall with a clear plastic so that it acts like a little solar collector to keep more of the ice melted and flowing away. Put some copper or aluminum wire, some kind of metal that is highly conductive of heat so that it's in the sunshine, but it goes through the wall and inside the pipe so that it'll conduct some heat in there. And so on sunny days, it will melt out what ice is there and hopefully in the long run produce less frost heaving damage to the concrete.
I'm going to let Chuck handle most of this. I can see perspiration beating on his forehead right now.
Thanks, Jerry.
But I want to give a little bit of background because the problem that you are mentioning is a very, very common one. And what happened along the way, when barns were built, they were built, of course, with the idea that they would enclose livestock. And livestock provide a lot of natural heat. And the inside of the barn continues to be warm throughout the winter. Unfortunately, these early barn builders, and this happened for a very long time, the footings under the walls were insufficient. In other words, they were only a few inches. And you said something to this effect a little earlier. And thus, without livestock inside, the freezing and thawing just raised havoc with these walls, causing them to bow, to bend, to break, to crack, to do all kinds of things. And I've seen hundreds of examples like this as I've looked at old historic barns. And most all of it was due to the fact that the original footing wasn't placed below the frost line. So, Chuck, I toss it to you.
Well, it's obviously very difficult for me to offer much of an informed comment sitting here in a studio in Madison and not seeing your situation. And you're probably quickly learning that I'm far from a technical expert as it relates to barn maintenance and preservation. I really leave that to the experts. And again, I would turn back to the contractors and consultant list that we referred to earlier. But as Jerry alluded to, you know, many of these buildings are really designed to breathe over time and throughout the seasons. So I would caution you that you really want to be careful about sealing up any sides of the building with a moisture barrier, because you may indeed capture and hold that moisture against that stone foundation, which might cause more problems in the long run. But again, I would encourage you to look at the contractor's list, identify a few folks with that area of expertise, and have them come out and take a look at your barn, as well as have one or two people come out and visit, not just one. Because like any building project, any home improvement project, you really want multiple opinions. Not everybody agrees on the right or wrong way to preserve these structures.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Before we go back to the phones, I want to get back to this barn dance that I mentioned earlier. There's an old-fashioned barn dance and harvest celebration. It's slated for this Saturday, September 25th, at a dairy farm in Manitowoc County, Jerry Apps.
That's right. In fact, it starts at 5 o'clock, and it goes on until 10 o'clock, and there's a rural art show and sale. There's a local food buffet, and yours truly is going to talk about Barns of Wisconsin, my book on that topic, which relates the history of barns. I'm looking right now to find the address for the place.
Oh, I think
you have
I
that
have,
there, Larry?
Yeah, I've got.
Here we go. It's 15621 South Union Road, Cleveland, Wisconsin. It's in Manitowoc County. 15621 South Union Road, Cleveland, Wisconsin. And we're just going to have a hi-ho time in this refurbished barn. And somebody has figured out, I don't know if this is accurate or not, but we're supposed to have a harvest moon on Saturday. And without clouds, well, we are going to have a heck of a good time celebrating Wisconsin farms, food, and rural heritage.
It does sound like a lot of fun. And is the information on the dance and the harvest celebration, the art fair and the art show and everything else available on a website anywhere? I'm not sure.
Here's an email address where you can get information. It's just Jim, J-I-M, at INRP.org.
Jim.
Again, it's Jim at INRP.org.
And it's going to be in a 160-year-old restored dairy barn. So that adds a lot to it as
well.
Yes,
it does. And there's a band that's going to be playing. I mean, it's just going to be a hi-ho time.
It's at the Saxon Homestead Farm. Actually, you might try just Googling in Saxon Homestead Farm. You might find some information on it right there. They probably have they may well have a website.
Yeah, here's another one, too, that I just found. The Council of Rural Initiatives is one of the major sponsors for this organization, of this barn dance, and it's www.cri-wis.org. So www.cri-wis.org.
Wisconsin,
.org.
All right.
That'll tell you what you need to know.
And it's my understanding this is the second annual celebration.
This is the second one.
Right.
That's right.
All right. There you go. Let's turn to Dave in Wisconsin Rapids next. Hi, Dave. Thank you for calling.
Good morning, Larry, and good morning to your guests. Jerry, I believe we may have met down in Friendship when the Wisconsin Department of Transportation turned over a historic home to the Village of Friendship there some time back. That's where I seem to recall.
Yeah, it could
name.
Very well be.
Okay. In any event, my wife and I we live in Wood County, but we've been involved in a project over in Portage County that was kind of headed up by Don Romanson and Justin and Lynn Isherwood. And we started early last, well, during the winter, it was in February, photographing all of the barns in Portage County. Perhaps you're aware of that process.
I am. Justin Isherwood's a good friend of mine, and we talk every so often.
Okay.
And I was at an event in Wisconsin Rapids in the spring where Justin was a part. And we talked about the project. It's a great project.
Well, it is, and it was interesting. Both of my paternal grandparents and my maternal grandparents and great-grandparents' barns are in Portage County. They're still standing, although no longer in use for dairy purposes. But in a lot of the home sites, we could see nothing left but some lilac bushes and maybe a barn foundation and a silo. And even many of the barns that were standing, all of those that we photographed, I would guess that probably only 10% of them were still actually actively used in dairy operations. So they're disappearing. Though they are the icon you see on our license plate and anything about Wisconsin, they're a disappearing and endangered species. And we've been happy to be involved in this project in Portage County. And I presume that there may be other counties with a history of dairy farming who would be interested in doing something
I think you're absolutely right. There are several counties that have attempted to do an inventory of their barns and rural buildings, which is a very important thing to do. And there are many, many people interested in barn photography, and they have these folks have done an interesting job in preserving at least the images of what we once knew as a part of our barn history in this state. So as I travel around, and I travel over the state all the time, I am encouraging local historical societies, for instance, to take this on as a project. And there are other groups that have done it as well. And Chuck, you know of groups that have worked on this sort of thing, too.
I have just one other comment, and that is that this event over at Cleveland sounds kind of interesting because I have never seen a barn dance.
Well, I tell you, when a barn starts dancing, it is something for all of us to see, and I invite you to come so you can see it. When you get a band playing in the upper part of a barn, the barn does dance, I think.
You know, I think Jim Packard's telling me that we might have had that website wrong.
Ooh.
That you gave. I think it's LNRP.
Oh, I've read it wrong. Yeah. Thank you.
That I looks like an L.
Yeah.
LNRP?
That's right. Yeah. I
dash, it's LNRP dash.
ORG. Oh, sorry. No. I'm looking at the wrong one. Jeez. Just hold on here.
We'll get this right.
Well, which one, though? The website was cri-wis.org.
Yeah, and I think
Council
that is incorrect.
Well, maybe it is. Well, that's the one that I have printed here. Sorry.
All right, well, I'll tell you what. We'll get that. Go to my Facebook page after the show, and we'll get the correct address up for that. If we don't get it before... If we don't find it exactly right before here, the show ends, I will put it up on my Facebook page. Just go to the Larry Mueller Show, and we'll have it there. But it does sound like a lot of fun.
And as soon as I get back to the office, we'll make sure that we've got a link up on the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program website as well.
Oh, okay, good. Because really, it's going to be a lot of fun, and I'd hate for people to miss out on it. That's for sure. Janice in Tunnel City, been waiting a while. Janice, hi.
Hello.
What's on your mind?
I called because my husband did the repairing of barns that you're talking about.
Oh.
And he replaced the beams and everything the same size but newer. And my husband and my sons worked on quite a few barns in this area here. And he's gone now, but it always made him just sick his last few years when he'd see a barn deteriorating.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's such a wonderful building.
Yep.
And without the cows and the heat in the winter time, he always said that the I can't think. The basement or the footer and the walls usually were made of stone, a lot, with a lot of them. And he always felt that mortar was not like the mortar they have now, and that would deteriorate.
Yeah.
And without the heat, you know. Yeah, but I just want to put my two cents in there.
It's
very interesting that you're doing, and it's good that somebody could try to keep some of these barns.
Well, if there's any comfort, hopefully you're not alone in your passion for preserving these beautiful buildings. And I think just the number of calls today show you that there is an interest and passion in this state for preserving barns. But we really need people with time and energy and some basic leadership to help us begin to build a funding base and build that political support. And if you are interested in volunteering your time, I'd certainly encourage you to contact Citizens for a Scenic Wisconsin directly. And as I mentioned earlier, their website is www.scenicwisconsin.org.
All right, thank you.
Remember my parents. I want to tell you this. My parents were told about when they built new barns years ago, then they'd have this barn dance.
Uh-huh.
So it was finished, you know, so they could
have
the barn dance before they used the barn.
Wonderful.
Yeah, that was often, that was common
when a barn was completed to have a barn dance.
Sure. Absolutely. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call, Janice. Mark emailed wondering if it's true that barns will not be insured unless they are used for farming.
I don't know the answer to that. That sounds a bit unusual to me.
That would be very unusual.
I have not heard that before.
And is there a resource to get original plans for old barns?
There are. In fact, I'm so happy you asked, because I can now plug my book, Barns of Wisconsin. But in the bibliography, I do have books, references to old barn plans, so you can see what they were like, and they are fascinating books to look at. I spent a lot of time digging into those old books when I wrote Barns of Wisconsin.
Yeah, and the new edition is just out. It's a wonderful book. Thank you so much for doing it.
Sure. Yeah, let me throw in my website, too, for people who want to learn more about my own stuff. It's just jerryapps.com, jerryapps.com.
And I know you've got a number of events coming up, and those events are on your...
They're on my website. That's another reason. Yeah, just check. Go to my blog. I'm one of those guys who writes a weekly blog. Go to my blog. At the end of my blog is a list of the events where I'm speaking.
Jerryapps.com.
That's it.
And I know there are a lot of events, and we're out of time to talk about them, Chuck, but there are many events coming up for...
There are.
Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program, and you know, and a lot of how-to kinds of events and other things as well. And go to that website.
Go to the website. In the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a button, blue button, called Events. Click on that. You'll see the listing with all of the contact information.
All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for being with us. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Thanks, Larry.
Appreciate it very much. Chuck Law of UW Extension directs the UW Extension Local Government Center. He's a key advisor to the Wisconsin Barn Preservation Program. And Jerry Apps, our Dean of Wisconsin Authors, with over 30 books, including his wonderful book, in the last several months, Barns of Wisconsin. It's a remake of an earlier book he wrote, and it's really beautiful. Thank you for listening, and we're going to switch gears on you now and talk about getting started in birding and also feeding birds. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.